It's The Current's Music News, the daily podcast where we tell you what you need to know about what's going on in the music world. Today's Wednesday, March 6th. I'm Jay Gabler. Today I had the chance to talk with Hozier. Like, minutes ago, I got off the phone with Hozier as he prepares to embark on a North American tour behind his brand new album, Wasteland Baby. You'll hear our conversation in a few minutes, but first, a few of today's music headlines. Dave Grohl has kindly lent his rock star leg injury throne to an injured friend. Matthew Ramsey of the band Old Dominion is currently on crutches after surgery he underwent in the wake of an onstage fall last year. Ramsey says that people kept joking about borrowing the throne that Dave Grohl used on a 2015 Foo Fighters tour after he broke his leg. So finally, Ramsey thought, why not ask? Well, Dave Grohl said yes, and the band posted a pic to Instagram with the caption, "First show post-surgery is going down with a little help from our friends." Now Grohl just has to be careful that stars don't start deliberately breaking legs just to use the throne. Facing criminal charges of sexual abuse, R. Kelly sat down with Gayle King for an emotional interview that aired Wednesday on CBS This Morning. Looking tearfully into the camera, he said, "I didn't do this stuff. This is not me." At one point, King had to pause the interview so Kelly could regain his composure. More of that interview will air Thursday. On Instagram, one of the women R. Kelly's been charged with abusing says that she saw, quote, "a man that needs help," adding, quote, "for decades, he's been around enablers who never told him the truth." Meanwhile, the late Michael Jackson is also facing fallout from alleged abuse. Radio networks in Canada and New Zealand have confirmed removing Jackson's music from their playlists as viewers reel from the explicit and, to many viewers, convincing documentary Leaving Neverland about two men who say Jackson sexually molested them when they were boys. The content director of one of the New Zealand radio networks pulling Jackson's music says they're not rendering judgment on Jackson, they're responding to listeners' feelings. The content director said in an interview, quote, "We're just merely trying to make sure that our radio stations are going to play the music that people want to hear." Shallow, the Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper duet from A Star Is Born, is the number one song in the country right now, according to Billboard. As Billboard notes, it's an unusual chart topper for 2019, since most songs that top the chart these days get massive amounts of streams without necessarily making a cultural splash outside the music world. The industry publications writer Andrew Unterberger says that the closest thing might be when a song peaks due to a viral challenge, like Ray Sherman's Black Beatles with the Mannequin Challenge. But looking back, it used to be more common for prominent placement in a movie or TV show to send a song to the top of the charts. Did you know that the Chariots of Fire theme hit number one? Then there were the songs of mourning. See You Again, the Charlie Puth and Wiz Khalifa song that hit number one in the wake of Fast and Furious star Paul Walker's death, followed in the tradition of songs like Elton John's Candle in the Wind 1997 for Princess Diana, and of course from that same year, Puff Daddy's tribute to the Notorious B.I.G., I'll Be Missing You.
Seems like yesterday we used to rock the show. I laced the track, you locked the flow. So far from hanging on the block for dough.
Hozier is out with his second full-length album. It's called Wasteland Baby. It just came out last Friday, March 1st. It speaks to the upheaval we've been experiencing in the world over the past few years. It's accompanied by a cover painting that has the artist literally underwater. The title, Wasteland Baby, speaks to the record's themes of hope amid global struggle. I talked to Hozier about the new album and his upcoming tour. Hi, how are you doing?
Good. How are you, Jay?
Oh, just fine. Thanks. Thanks for taking a few minutes to talk. I know it's...
Oh, my God. No, thank you so much. And thanks so much for all the support this week.
Oh, absolutely. Congratulations on the new album.
Man, it's just so good to share work with people again. And it's been kind of burning a hole in my pockets for a while. So it's a bit of an unburdening.
So as a true singer-songwriter, you're the only songwriter credited on every track of the new album, but you did collaborate with a few different producers. Can you talk a little bit about how you were hoping this album would sound and how you brought it together?
Yeah, for me, I usually work to the point where I can no longer work on the arranging of the track and the production of the track. So all of these songs, I would have brought them to a certain point and to a certain level, and then some of them, or the majority of them, I worked with Marcus Drabs in London. And then I did a couple of songs with Rob Kirwan, who produced my last record, and then Ariel Rechsted, who is amazing producer based out in LA, produced Vampire Weekend, etc. I usually approach each song for whatever the song kind of needs. So there's usually, there's a few different sounds on the album, and it's kind of an eclectic little bunch of sounds.
When you and Marcus were having conversations about how the album would sound, did you use any reference points? Do you say, you know, I've loved the way this other album sounds, or this kind of, you know, guitar sound?
I think for me, he was trying to steer me away from my traditional guitar sound a little bit. And we were playing around with some of the toys that he had, enjoying synth here and there, a synth as a texture in one or two numbers, or playing with guitar sounds away from a traditional noise that they make with something like movement, etc.
You are the right of movement. It's reasoning made lucid and cool. I know it's no improvement when you move.
We have to talk about the incredible album cover created by your mother. It sort of captures a sense of end times, a sense of the, you know, wasteland that the album title is referring to, but there's hope as well. Can you talk about what this album cover means to you?
There's a few references in throughout the album to, as you say, let's say that the sea level's rising and some of those concerns. And just with regards to the cover, there's something kind of peaceful and sort of yielding to it a little bit. And although the image of somebody kind of being in a room filling with water that they can't leave, it's sort of oppressive maybe, but I think there's something peaceful to it and accepting to it at the same time.
I watched the video documentary about the making of the album cover, and it's fascinating to see all those little details. It really makes you want to get the vinyl so you can appreciate it at full scale. Mm-hmm. One detail, that people might not notice that the documentary pointed out is that there's the image across your torso in the painting is actually migrants in boats, your mother was saying. And it made me think about Brexit and the whole debate behind that. I know a few years ago when that vote happened, you said your heart was broken, and now here we are. It's the divide seems to be imminent. What is it like right now to be in Ireland? What's going through your mind?
It's a difficult time. It's a in a lot of ways. Yeah, I think Brexit to me was baffling. I think a lot of hardworking people, a lot of working class and middle class, struggling middle class people, were kind of sold a bit of a pup. That's my personal opinion. It seems like a bit of a baffling thing to follow through with. However, for Ireland anyway, and from my point of view. And I think the Irish government has been consistent on this. And I think everybody on the island of Ireland is of the shared view that it's whatever happens cannot and won't, but can't interrupt the peace process in Ireland. And that's what's kind of most important to me. But when this album was kind of written, the world has changed so much in the last 5 years, 6 years. I think what happened with Brexit it's not specific. I mean, it's a kind of a global trend of political upset like that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I've never been able to visit Ireland, but I imagine music has played and continues to play an important role in that rapprochement, the peace process.
As somebody who grew up in kind of the kind of Wicklow and Dublin area, the experience and the kind of cultural experience is something I wouldn't be right to speak on. Because it's such a different experience growing up in the north of Ireland. But I think the stories of people's shared experience in grief and understanding the actuality of that and the commonality of that is definitely something that plays a role in everybody deciding that at the end of the day, peace is better, you know?
Yeah. So your album is full of, particularly the first couple of tracks, shout-outs to all sorts of American artists. You have a Mavis Staples collaboration. It seems like there's a lot of shared love between the Irish and the American music scenes. Do you feel that back and forth?
Yeah, no, certainly. And I know just from growing up and some of the artists I listened to, and Irish artists growing up, that a lot of Irish musicians, a lot of Irish artists have always had a fascination and a deep respect and a deep love for tradition of rock and roll, also the tradition of blues music in particular. And my dad was a musician who, you know, played blues nearly exclusively. And my first education into music was through his record collection and blues music and rock and roll and soul music, etc.
Need a scrap power.
very much for taking time to talk with me about this new project, and good luck with everything.
Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure, and thank you so much for playing the work.
Read more about all these stories over at thecurrent.org. I'm Jay Gabler. Our producer today is Cecilia Johnson. And Capsule Review, last night I saw Captain Marvel, comes out this weekend. It's fine. It's the new Marvel movie. It's what you'd expect. But I felt like I need to give it a shout out on the podcast because it's set in the 90s. And I gotta say, fans of 90s alternative rock, I know you're out there. There are at least a few of you. You're going to enjoy this movie, especially fans of some of the amazing female artists from that era. If you've been really waiting to see Annette Bening just totally getting into a Nirvana song, your chance has come, folks. Your chance has come. Well, that's it for today's music news. We'll be back tomorrow with a roundup of this week's new releases.